Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. Open House around Australia with Lee Hatcher. And now, the human condition.
Yes, over the past 3 weeks, we've been covering a vitally important part of the human condition with our guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, that of developing ourselves. Tonight, the so-called body dysmorphic disorder, which together with eating disorders, is directly linked with that development of self. If you've missed Lynn's quite revealing and really helpful insights into eating disorders, let's recap briefly before we start with body dysmorphic disorder. Lynn, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Great to see you.
So over the last few weeks, we've looked at the development of ourselves, and we've talked about how our thoughts about who we are based on three different benchmarks. And these benchmarks are how we ideally would like to be and how we think we ought to be and who we are when we're at our best. And what we know is that there's a huge discrepancy between the ideal and ought self to that of who we are at our best, we often end up with a real sense of failure and disappointment with ourselves. And that's then projected onto other people. And when we project that onto other people, they also think that we're not good enough and they start to show their disappointment. And we then develop a faulty thinking pattern, which can even change how we see ourselves in the mirror or perceive what others think of us. And that can lead to a number of disorders of ourselves.
Including the eating disorder.
Yes.
And this body dysmorphic disorder, what actually is it?
Well, body dysmorphic disorder is defined as a preoccupation with an imagined defect in your appearance. There might be some slight anomaly when the person is concerned about, but it becomes really excessive. And this preoccupation is associated with many time-consuming rituals, such as mirror gazing or constant comparing or thinking about it over and over. They can try and increase their muscles, but they never be satisfied. They might cover up parts of their body and they don't like, but they might think about it all the time to the point of having rituals they do to help them to cope with that abnormality.
Okay.
So often body dysmorphic disorder people have a distorted body image which may be associated with bullying or abuse during childhood or adolescence, and they often become very isolated, depressed, and they're at a very high risk of suicide.
Okay, wow.
Quite often they have needless skin treatments and cosmetic surgeries, or they go to the gym to work out needlessly and they're never satisfied with the results. And the condition's often trivialised and stigmatised. And often the preoccupation is laughed at, but the reality is it's a serious mental illness and it has dire consequences.
Yeah, so you categorise this as a mental illness, and when you mention, say, cosmetic surgery and the need endlessly to work out the gym, that's a very common dynamic.
Yes.
So it's a mental illness.
Yes, and it's come from a developed poor sense of self.
Yes, okay.
And body dysmorphic disorder, as a mental illness, constantly worry about how they look, and they think that there's something there, but it isn't really there, and they think that others notice it. And that is a serious defect, but it's not really.
It's not there.
No. And for example, some people know their feelings aren't rational or justified, while other people are quite delusional in the way they're thinking. It causes severe emotional distress. It's not just vanity, and it's not just something a person can just forget about or get over.
Which is important for understanding if you're around them.
That's right. It can be so extreme that the affected person has trouble functioning in any situations, work, school, or social situations.
Right.
Now, any part of the body can be targeted. It's thought that between 1% and 2% of the population might have BDD, but I think it's actually increasing.
Wow.
And with men and women equally affected. So it usually starts in teenage years with concerns over physical appearance, and it's also when we develop our sense of self and we experiment with different looks and behaviours during adolescence years. So it tends to be when this starts to happen. But we need to be really careful because suicide rates among people with BDD, body dysmorphic disorder, are really high. And if you suspect that you have it or that someone else in your family has it, see a doctor or a mental health professional, you really need to get some help.
With eating disorders, there's so much focus on women, and I'm not being sexist here, but that's just the reality of it. But you're saying this is applying equally to men and women.
That's right.
Common areas of concern that people have with their appearance?
Facial skin, your face, even the size or shape of their eyes, their nose, their ears and their lips, the size or shape of virtually any body part, including your buttocks, thighs, abdomen, legs, breasts and genitals, overall size and the shape of the body, the symmetry of the body or particular body parts. Now, some of the signs, behavioural signs, can be about thinking about the perceived defect for hours every day, worrying about their personal or the physical perfection of models and celebrities and wanting to do that, distressed about their preoccupation, constantly asking people about what they think and what they look like, constantly looking at the reflection, constantly dieting or over-exercising, grooming to excess, avoiding any situation they feel that will call attention to their defect, taking great pains to hide or camouflage, like wearing excessive makeup, squeezing or picking at skin blemishes for hours, wanting treatment with a cosmetic surgery, and then when they have it, it's not good enough.
Oh, yeah.
Repeated surgery procedures, particularly on the same body part, and depression and anxiety, including suicidal thoughts.
So we've talked about this in the context of the sense of self. I think these conversations have been very revealing, but are there other causes of body dysmorphic disorder?
Look, the development of who we are is integral to all of our mental health.
Yes.
And this disorder seems to be beginning in the teenage years, and it seems to be more common with people with family members with some sort of obsessive compulsive tendency or an anxiety disorder. But the key thing is that we have to be aware of the importance we put on our body image to establish who we are. It's a bit ridiculous when you think of it. What we look like doesn't establish our meaning and purpose. It really, if we really consider who we love the most, who we love the most in our lives, we actually don't even think about what they look like. So connecting with other people deeply involves sharing and caring and seeing below the surface. So what we actually don't see, what someone looks like, we really do think about them deeply. We don't think about that. Deep connections is how we actually get through this disorder.
So how do you treat it then?
Well, the treatment is complex.
Yeah,
one of the key things that we've got at the moment is a SSRIs, which is a drug called a serotonin. I won't say it out loud.
Reuptake inhibitor or something.
That's it. Yeah. But basically, it just slows things down so that the brain isn't working so hard.
It's like an antidepressant.
It's an anti-anxiety. It stops that fast movement in the brain. And what happens then is that you're able to then really hone down your skills of thinking and then start using some cognitive behaviour therapy to start challenging your thinking. The key, though, Lee, is that it doesn't actually finish. So it's something that will happen for a long time, perhaps lifetime, but it doesn't mean you have to have the preoccupation for a whole lifetime. It just means you have to work on the skills of changing your thinking.
So if it's such a, if it's so ingrained and so over a long term, how do you deal with it?
You deal with it by learning the skills, by going to a psychologist and learning the skills and using those skills all your life. And it's the same with anxiety. Anxieties are something that are always there, but you can manage them and overcome them, but they will keep poking their little thoughts into your brain. And it's the same thing here. So having some skills to actually learn how to manage it is an important thing.
As I said, I think this series of conversations has been very revealing and very helpful. If you've missed any of them, well worth going to our Open House Community website and clicking on our podcast page. Next week, Lynn, a dynamic of the human condition that's very, very different, but one on the rise and rise, that of empty nesters. Give us a brief preview.
What we're going to look at is some of the life changes that happen in people over their life stages and some of the effects of having an empty nest and what that might mean for people.
I'll be very interested in that one, especially, as always. Lynn Worsley, thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.